Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Siri, give me H-Town Soccer.
Talking all things Houston Dynamo FC. This is the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. We are Forever Orange.
What up, H-Town? Welcome to another episode of the official Dynamo Theory Podcast. My name is Rudy Segura, and tonight we don't have the usual suspects. Christian is out doing some weird things. I know he's about to go on, like, you know, business retreat. I'm sure he's going to SeaWorld since he's going to San Antonio. Rodrigo's actually driving to Houston to be here for the rest of the week. So it'd be kind of funny because we may do a live recording of our other show of Pendejadas y un poco de Fútbol. So, you know, if you guys listen to that, it should be a fun one. But tonight we do are joined by Manny. Manny, what's up, man? How you been?
Hey, I've been good, everyone.
You're all weakened out from your concert, brother?
Yeah, man, that's it, man. The batteries are drained out, bro. It's other yeah. than that, I'm good.
Alright, Manny may be a little low energy today just because he's not feeling all that great, but he did us a solid for being here, as well as we're joined by a special guest, none other than Finister from Houston Dynapod. How you doing, man?
I'm good. You meant special as in like welcome and happy to be here, right?
Yeah, definitely. Not a different special.
Dude, I love talking to y'all. I love coming on the show. You guys are great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this should be a good one. Obviously, like, you haven't interacted with Manny, and Manny brings the first perspectives. So we'll see how this goes. I'm kind of a little energy myself. I was telling you guys, the last 2 days have been kind of weird. I finally put a listing for, you know, brand new to the realtor, I guess, life. So we ended up putting a house up for sale for a client. So yesterday I didn't get home till almost 10. And then today I got home and started doing a freaking webinar. So yay me, you know, it just feels like I stack more crap on top of what I already have, but it's all good, man. It's a part of life. We do that, right?
I'm going to hire you next summer. Cause I'm buying a house.
Hey man, keeping you in mind
here.
Definitely keeping you in mind, man.
No, then that was me like telling you, I'm going to like hire you to help me out unless you don't want to.
I'm cool. Just let me know, man. I'll try to do my best for you. Are you trying to stay in where you live right now, or are you trying to move like completely?
Oh no, I'm just trying to stay out here.
Yeah,
man, it's gonna be tough though. The market is still a small market, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was actually keeping it realtor wise. Yeah, my sister in law was looking for a place, so we were looking, and houses are still not lasting like a couple of days, man.
Yeah, they're starting to cool off a little bit.
Well, especially with school starting and stuff. But let's talk some Dynamo. The game that happened on the weekend, it was a game that I honestly, you know, I knew we were going to lose. I was hopeful because it was a home match. I was at the game. Manny was in Dallas, not watching FC Dallas play. He was doing something else. And then Finn, I think, were you at the game as well?
I was. It was my 5-year-old daughter's first professional soccer match. Yeah, it was. She had fun. She doesn't know who won or lost, so she had a blast.
Hey, that's better, man. I wish that was me. You know, finding Dory mentality right there.
Not remembering. She goes, "Are the Astros winning?" I was like, "Sweetheart, this is the Dynamo." What are you doing?
What, every goal she was screaming touchdown or home run?
I was going to call security on her. Like this person's harassing me. Get her out of here.
Manny, did you get to watch any of the game, man? I know, like I said, you were busy.
Yeah, so on the way driving to Dallas, I was listening to the game. So I didn't watch the game. The game, you know, how watching it live or, you know, being in the stadium. But I did listened to it, the commentary, and also I saw the full extended highlights. So I got a good grasp of what the game happened and our mistakes as well.
Well, we always talk mostly Dynamo. I mean, at the end of the day, we are Dynamo Theory. We would love for another podcast to join us, you know, to talk about the Dash. So before we completely get into the game, I do want to say the Dash ended up playing on Friday, which was an important match, I guess, outside of the soccer aspect, just because it was Rachel Daly's basically farewell. It ended kind of boring 0-0. But with the new coach, they're still undefeated. Then we had Dynamo, which we'll definitely get into. And then to end it, Dynamo Dose played. I don't know if you guys got to watch it. I haven't been able to go to a match since they're like late Sunday night. But man, that was a feisty, you know, end to the game. Literally on the PKs, it was kind of funny to see both like the players kind of just screaming at each other's goalies. It was pretty funny. And the referee was one of the worst I've ever seen. She pulled out yellow cards for pretty much everybody. And then even gave the goalie, a second yellow. And obviously it wasn't a red card. And then everybody was like questioning it. And then she goes to Kenny Bundy and keeps that yellow card up and just walks and points at everybody. Like, what the hell is happening? I don't know. I don't know if you guys have any input in this. But if you do, Manny, you want to throw something out there?
You know what's funny? Like, she gave out, I don't know how many yellow cards, but freaking MLX Next Pro only counted, like, maybe two or three of them. So, I don't know if really her yellow cards were validated. So, I have no idea. But, no, I think just the overall match of that, it was poorly handled, you know, because there were so calls on both sides. That's why I think a lot of tension came up. She didn't give a lot of calls for Colorado Rapids or even for Dynamo Dose. So I think just the tension, even the last kick of the game before full time, you know, there was a penalty call that she literally just did not call for the Dynamo, and it's like, and that just stirred up a lot more emotion. I feel like she didn't handle the situation from the beginning game, and it's just by the time the penalty calls, it would just everyone went nuts.
And Finn, I was able to listen to both of your new episodes. The 15-minute one you did for, you know, the game against Montreal, and the one you did recently with Eric, what is it, Old Soccer Guy?
Old Soccer Guy, the Ticket Genie.
That's a good one, man. I need to get him into to join us one of this upcoming episodes. But I was going to say, you know, because of you, I ended up watching some of the YouTube videos that you were mentioning, and I was very surprised, like you mentioned, how, you know, fiery what's his name,
Brooklyn Reigns
was. Yes, man, it's crazy. I mean,
I like it, but it looked like if nobody had held him back, I think he would have gotten himself suspended. I think he would have physically went after him with his fist. He just looked. That kind of worried me, but I like the intensity. I'm always for that.
Yeah, no, like I said, it was good. It was fiery. You want to see that from these young guys, because we really don't have a lot of it in the first team. So, you know, I think it was Reigns. Palomino missed that PK, which I don't know how the hell he missed that when he like hits, you know, those really long free kicks, basically, that I think he treats them as penalties. But anyways, the other one that was very fiery too was actually Juan Castilla.
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, he was out there, you know, just barking at everybody, and their mama. But
that official went full Oprah with the yellow card. She was like, you get a yellow card. You get a yellow card.
No kidding.
Everybody gets a yellow card, and it's, I mean, it sucks to see that, you know, because that's new. Female officials, it's new here. And you haven't seen an incident like that on the professional level. I haven't. I mean, but there's been questionable calls, but it happens with males as well. I wonder, like, if maybe it's the age group she's dealing with. They're a little less mature, a little quick to impulse. That resulted in her losing control because, I mean, that's a tough group, man. Those are teenage kids.
Yeah, and like you said, I think it was the fact that she was just, or actually Manny mentioned the fact that like calls were just awful. You know, there was, I think, a couple of, like, questionable calls that could have been penalties. There's a few other bad challenges. It could have been either a yellow or a red card. And you just saw like the emotions just kind of boil up, man. And this is a funny thing. I don't know if Manny saw it, but on the group chat, our boy Billy was telling us the fact that he almost got in trouble himself, man. Like he was kind of got into it. He was out there taking pictures for us, and he kind of just, I don't know if he said something to the refs or whatever, but the refs kind of called him out and was like, what the heck? And it's just kind of funny. He really thought he was going to get in trouble, like kicked out forever for the Dynamo or something, even though he really didn't do anything bad. But again, it just kind of the emotions just kind of overtakes everybody, man. Which, yeah, it's pretty funny.
I think for us, like, we're so invested in the team, I think, and they're like, you know, like Kenny Bunny always says, you know, this is like a fortress for us playing Aviva. And so, and not getting the calls right and just being boiled, just emotionally and everything. I think, you know, from the videos that I see and people, I feel like everyone got emotional, then not just coaches, the media staff, everyone. So, and so it's normal, but I think as always, you know, like Finister said, you know, I think we're the older ones. I think we should control ourselves more, but like, you know, but it's easy to let our feelings, you know, get carried away when we're in that situation.
They were the same supporters that chucked thousands of bracelets at pro referees during the Dallas match. I mean, I'm not sure our maturity level is that high. We're just all a bunch of kids trying to figure it out sometimes, you know?
But that's what I was saying, man. Imagine if it was like bobblehead night. A couple people would have gone to the ER.
Well, it depends on which bobblehead. If you had a Tim Parker bobblehead, he'd kill somebody with one of those.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man. But talking about a little bit about freaking objects flying at PNC Stadium. Again, Houston, man, they're on a four-game losing streak that started against Minnesota. Obviously got destroyed by Philadelphia. Ended up choking against Vancouver. And then just could not take care of Montreal at home. It was kind of exciting to see Kyoto back because there's that love and hatred for him being at the stadium. And I'm sure since, what's it called? Finister, you were there. You saw a lot of Honduran jerseys.
I did.
Accurate statement.
Oh, yeah. There was quite a few. I usually see a few El Salvador jerseys because of Seren, who, by the way, did you notice his hair?
Yes.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah. And Coco, too, you know. Coco got the D-Row Conros going. So I don't know, man. I don't think that worked out for them.
I miss Coco with the fro Coco.
I agree, man.
Now he's Cornrow Coco.
He went from, what is his name? Axel Witzel was the guy's name?
He pulled like a Colin Kaepernick too.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say he yeah. It didn't really fit him, but it is what it is. I don't know, but it was fun to see definitely Kyoto out there just because he, again, brings that definitely that fiery of the fans. And apparently it was a really good crowd, man. You were there. It said they called it out as like almost a sellout. I think there were like a couple hundred short of a full stadium. It was really empty in the beginning of the match. And then by halftime, it was packed. I don't know. I was in the media booth the entire time, so I couldn't tell you if it was just people getting there late or people just stuck at freaking buying the dollar hot dogs or whatever, man.
Beer line.
Hey, was it the beer line?
They were outrageously long. I didn't even get in them. I paid full price like a schmuck.
See, that's what's annoying, man. They need to do a better job of just filtering people in and out. There's no way you can be out there for something so simple that you already know it's a dollar, you know, like just make it accessible for everybody. And what kind of beer did they have to begin with for the $3? Was it Keystone or something like that?
It was Rolling Rock, Dos Equis, Bud Light, Miller Light, maybe. I don't know. I just went and paid regular price. I wasn't going to miss a half an hour of the game.
Usually it's Rolling Rock, was it Nutty Light? And and Busch. Usually those
but
three
see,
beers.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because like last season, I remember that they even had like Carbog for like, you know, the $3 at one point. I was like, this is not bad. I mean,
That was a
maybe they didn't
mistake.
know that they were supposed to not sell it for $3, and I got lucky like the two, three times that they had it. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that beer lineup, Manny, that sounds like something you'd find at a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
Busch Light, Keystone, and Rolling Rock. Rolling Rock's not bad. The other two. Oh.
Keystone's
No,
like
they should.
all my buddies when I was like, you know, high school and college would buy just because that's all they could afford, man.
Yeah. They should do like what a Dash does it. The Dash has the hot dogs and every
Stan.
what
Well,
is
they did
food
that.
stand.
They did that. It was the beer. The beer lines were like 100 to 200 people long.
Man, I don't know, but they either get faster people or people need to have their money already to charge them, but.
Exactly. Like, what are the choices? It's either a hot dog or a hot dog or a hot dog. Like, what the hell, man? Like, it's really not that difficult
That
to
should be
get
like,
that.
you want heart disease or cirrhosis of the liver? Pick one.
Exactly.
I'd
Come
like
on.
both. Hook them up.
Just go for it. Yeah. I think that's really one annoying thing that doesn't get talked about enough. Just, you know, the Dynamo organization try to make it more of a fan experience, but you can't have that outrageous time to just try to get some food, man. It's ridiculous. That is obviously beyond the price of items as well. They're not all that great. I don't know about you guys, but I hate spending, you know, $50 every time I go to watch a game. That's why I don't take my wife. That's pure honesty, man. My wife, every time she goes, she has to get some kind of margarita and a meal, and it turns out to be like $100 by the end of the night. So it's not a good way to go.
I've
We'll go
brought
somewhere else nice
two
just to have.
children. Wait till your kids are old enough. Then it gets real expensive.
Oh, I know, I
Oh my
know.
God. They're like little money vampires.
I barely took them to like the, you know, movie theaters recently. And yeah, I can already see that's gonna hurt my pocket in the
No,
long
I'm already telling mine, like, we can't go out monkeypox. We can't spend money monkeypox.
You know that I hear this is funny. So I dated this one girl. I don't know if I've said this story here before, but I dated a girl that she was adopted. Anyway, that's not necessarily the point, but it was 12 of them. So it was the people that adopted them. They had three of them their own, and then they adopted nine more kids, bro. So the where I was going with this, I would always like, you know, I mean, I guess it was like every Friday night or something. The guy would show up with like two movies, like brand new movies, you know. So say like they're like $30 a movie, and in my head I'm like, man, that's crazy. Like, how are you gonna spend just 30? You know, me being naive. Then you start thinking, I'm like, well, crap, that's way cheaper than taking nine kids to the movie theater. I was like,
Hey,
the
he's got to save somehow, man. Can't be spending like $200.
Yeah, exactly. Like at first in my head, I was like, this guy, well, that's kind of dumb to do that. But then I was like, now me having kids and paying for my bills, I was like, that guy was a genius. Like, this dude had like the newest movie out there when it came out because it made sense. Obviously, this is before like Disney Plus and all the streaming services kicked in, because now it'd be even cheaper, man.
Yeah, man, he just went to Blockbuster or Hollywood, rented a movie for the weekend, and he's like, that's it, call it a weekend.
I know, does the Redbox even exist anymore, to be honest?
Yeah, they're still here. Yeah.
Dude, I have so many like free movie nights and I forget to use them. I have a
Well,
bunch of codes. Like, if you guys want them, man, y'all can have them, because like
you could use them as promos for the show.
that's true. And that's actually what I used them for a different organization, but I had some left over, and honestly, they've been sitting there for a while. They should be good though. They're like never expiring type of thing. So
No,
if you guys
they usually don't expire, but you know, like you said, Disney Plus and everything, Paramount Plus, all these, like, literally, you know, if you can't wait for the movie like for 2 weeks at Redbox, it could gonna come out in the streaming shows. So, but that's, you know, if
Yeah,
you
that's
want that
pretty
right now.
crazy. Well, let me bring it back to the Dynamo, because I'm kind of I sidetracked everything. But Another weird thing, man, was apart from obviously the stadium being a pretty good crowd. If it was, you know, 21,000 plus or not, it was a really good crowd on Saturday. And the weather was actually pretty nice, man. It ended up being like low 80s by the time kickoff being at 8 o'clock or whatever. And but media, you know, obviously, Manny, you're in there, you know, often in the media booth. And dude, it was empty. Like, it was literally me, Christian, and then there was like a the rest of the row empty except for one guy that was like in all Montreal, basically had, you know, blue pants, some kind of blue t-shirt, a hat, and he was just like super loud celebrating everything when you really don't do that there. But
did he like, only speak French? Like, was it all in French?
No, this is the weird thing. He was talking Spanish.
Soccer's a global game, Rudy.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, we really were, me and Christian were like, I bet that this is, like, Kyoto's friend or something. And was like, hey, man, I got tickets for you if you want to sit and watch the game for free.
I want to hear him, like, angry in French. Like, qu'est-ce que c'est? Oui, oui, je m'appelle.
Yeah, man, it was pretty interesting because, yeah, there was not that many people there in front of us. We had what's the guys from Africa Sports?
Sam and Banu.
Yeah, Sam.
I saw them out there recording, man. Like, did they do that because of teenage?
No, they've been following the game, the team for a while now.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they've been following it for quite a while. I mean,
yeah, that's, you know, that's a demographic that we miss is the Nigerian demographic here. And they're talented. There are good African Saudi money.
Yeah,
he's Senegal, but there are a ton of Nigerians here. We don't even touch that market.
No, I agree. That's one thing that I've always said, like that. And then some people say Vietnamese, being obviously a big population here. But you know, I've asked a lot of my Vietnamese friends, and they don't care for their like national team and national players. They're just like focused on the EPL basically. So.
Dude, can you name me a professional Vietnamese soccer player? I can name you a Korean one.
Song, that's what you
Son Heung-min, yeah.
But
there's
no,
one
I,
for Arsenal,
I
Matsuyatu or whatever.
That's the
Tomiyasu.
Funny thing, because some people really are like, oh, if you do this, you fill up the stadium. No, you won't, man. I've asked like a bunch of people, and they just like, I don't care for my national team. Because they even like going to the World Cup, you know, some of them, I think Vietnam got eliminated in the phase before the final, I guess, part of their qualification, and people don't care. It was kind of interesting, though, because they love soccer. They just don't care for it. Because I guess maybe they know their nation sucks, I guess. But
yeah, you know. I was about to say, though, like from their region, the only one that comes out is Japan and Australia that always gets qualified in their third place. It's a playoff run with like either from.
So well, I mean, you get Korea, usually South Korea, you get Japan, and then Australia, I think, moved to like Oceania. So
Oceania.
Yeah.
Oceania.
They completely moved out because they were kept running into Japan, I guess. But yeah. And then obviously Saudi Arabia now, it's part of the Asian Confederation. So, It's funny because there's, but I think Nigerian, like you mentioned, Finn, is one that definitely feels like we don't cater to. And man, this is a conversation we're going to have forever because I feel like a lot of the marketing is like barking up the wrong tree, going into like hip hop and all this stuff that I feel like it's not benefiting anybody.
I don't know that hip hop is big with Nigerians. I don't know what kind of music Nigerians listen to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, it could be something similar like that, or you know, reggae wise. I mean, from my college days, I took African diaspora, and Jesus, man, they do like everything. It's, you know, basically from those roots.
All right, none of these genres of music. Okay, they have Nigerian reggae, and the rest is like Afrobeat is one.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Waka music, palm wine. That sounds like fun. Yeah, no, I don't know any of these genres.
Exactly.
I don't know what they listen to.
Yeah, you just want to listen to what is it called? Mike Jones trying to give you his phone number, man. That's what we're at.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Jones.
But anyway, so yeah, the game ends up being a fun game. I don't know, you know, we'll start with you, Vincent. You were there. First half, pretty exciting in my opinion. You know, you got four goals scored. Your thoughts on that first half, man?
The penalty took a lot of the life out of the stadium. I mean, it galvanized the fan base with our hatred of Kyoto, who, like you, I liked him. I thought he was so talented. I think that we didn't support him the way he needed it, because if you look at, nobody can really say he couldn't acclimate. We were full of Hondurans. So something happened here where we didn't support him as a younger man. And we failed him. But we failed so many. Wondolowski, we failed him. But no, I mean, we looked good considering we were playing Montreal. We were competitive. Right. And that's what we're looking for, is to be competitive, not like we were in Philly. That was a disaster. But to be competitive and to show progress. And we were competitive with a back line that did not start opening day, that has not played a single game together, I don't think, out of MLS game.
Yeah.
And combined, you can count their starts on one hand. Yeah. So, I mean, we know the situation. Well, we don't. There's rumors with Hadebe. It's not an injury. I don't know if that's true. But we know that our defensive situation has been poor. And we went back to old reliable Zarek. And he did Zarek things. He didn't score on us. So he's improved.
Yeah, it was interesting too. Manny, I don't know if you were able to like hop on the post game conference or not, but it was interesting to see or to hear from Nagamura, in the sense of like, this is going to go back to the whole Nagamura in, Nagamura out. I'm still with Nagamura. I think that he does deserve some time, because compared to like the last coach we had, I do feel there's definitely way more potential. It seems like he understands the game. He tries to adapt. One question that was asked was the fact that how come he put, you know, an extra defender? Because obviously at halftime, Memo Rodriguez comes out, we see the debut of, what's his name, Michael Dos Santos? Is that his name?
Yeah, the big, tall Brazilian center back. Manny, are you Naga in or Naga out?
Me, at the moment?
Hey, be honest, man. You're good.
Hey, I got Finister right here. He's going to bring me like a lie detector. At the moment, I'm Naga in, because reasons why, like you said, Rudy, like he is bold enough to make changes in this tactical lineup with the players he has. You know, like for instance, like the right back. None of us thought maybe halfway through the season that we will see Zarek back in the lineup. Because, you know, you had Dorsey, who's, you know, he's there for pace and stamina. He runs up and down the field, gets, you know, his body in a way of, he's maybe not the good defender, but he gets the job done just being present and hovering. Zeka is more of a wing back. You know, he gets a lot forward, does a lot of crosses in, but not really good defensively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never see Zarek. So, you know, our initial thoughts, I thought he was out. But for instance, was Vancouver, I thought he played a solid game. Yeah. You know, not really, you know, mistakes is that was pinned to him. You know, it was, you know, everywhere around our game though, that we lost that game. But I think he was, you know, he proved some people wrong. Like, hey, we need to get rid of Zarek. But I think he's been doing fine. And you know, I could see that Nagamura is too, he's still trying to find his best 11. It's not a bad thing, because like he always says in the press conference, we will always have problem finding consistency.
Yeah.
It's not even his fault at this point. It's just the players, to be honest, players just show up on the games they want to show up for and don't show up when the most important game of the season could be. Or, you know, like, you know, for instance, like FC Dallas, you know, of course it's a rivalry, of course, and the players showed up. But don't you think you should show up against Philadelphia, yeah, you know, who's like first in the East and can punish you? But we didn't see that. You saw. And I think it's not a Nagamura to play. You know, he sets a team. He sets the tactics. But at the end of the day, you know, the players have to, show up. Yeah, I think he's trying to manage the best he can.
And I think, you know, before I let Finn kind of jump in and talk a little bit about it, I also see the fact that you hear people, especially on Twitter, which is like a terrible place to just go in for anything, guys. But, you know, the fact that they keep mentioning, oh, Nakamura lost the team, this and that. I don't see that. I feel like the team, like, you know, most of the players seem to be very committed and are actually trying, working hard. You know, I mean, we know, like, Fafa is a workhorse, right? He's going to be there defensively. He's going to hustle all the time. Is he that talented? No. In my opinion, I feel like he is a one-trick pony that doesn't help in certain situations, whether it be, you know, assisting the striker, right? That's one thing. But there's players like that, but they're still out there, you know, kind of giving their all. And I don't know your thoughts on that, Finn. Like, do you think that Nakamura lost the team already? Is that something that you believe?
I mean, I wouldn't even know. I'm not there. That's the thing with all this stuff. It's conjecture. It's a new word I'm kicking around. Conjecture. It means, like, based off of, we don't know. And there's so many people that are telling us things based off of not actually knowing. Like, yeah, he's lost the locker room. You're not in the locker room.
No.
The team isn't trying. Are you in their heads?
Yeah.
Like, we can only go off of what we see for 90 to 180 minutes a week. And if you look at what we've seen, have we seen guys not hustle? Yes. Zeka. Okay. Yeah. What happened?
Bench. Of course. Uh-oh.
Ah, man. Oh, it's back. Okay. I don't know how much did you lose?
You just said Zeka and that was it.
All right. So Zeka comes out, doesn't hustle, right? We all can agree defensively he leaves a lot to be desired. Next thing you know, Zarek Valentin's on the field, starting the game twice. So there are people that haven't performed or looked like they weren't trying, and they disappeared. Look at Thiago.
Yeah.
On the same note, Adam Lundqvist's wife was, you know, about to give birth, and he was on the pitch.
Yeah.
So tell me that he's lost the locker room when his wife is at home about to burst, and he's playing a game with other grown men. Yeah. So, we can't know. And, you know, one thing about Nakamura, I was never, like, truly sold on his pedigree until I read this article about, like, the other Paulinho, it's called, about his time at Arsenal. Have you read this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. He spent 3 years in the Arsenal system under Arsene Wenger. He spent 3 years learning from, oh God, I hate that I'm going to say this because I despise Arsenal.
He's a good coach, man.
The second best coach of all time.
Yeah.
Behind Alex Ferguson. Right then and there, when I read that, I said, this is our guy. Because if you look, he's won, not with SKC too, but as a player, he's won. His senior clubs have won. I think he's won 5 league cups throughout his playing career in some way, shape, or form. He's won an English U19 or U20 championship. He's won everywhere he goes, and he has pedigree from winning coaches and winning systems. And this is our guy, man. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it happens every now and again, but I really think he's our guy. And like I said before, Glenn Davis is Naga in, so we are all actually correct.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he went through, if you look at the coachings that he had throughout his career, are some of the best ones, you know, whether it be, like you mentioned, in Arsenal, then being in LA Galaxy. He probably had, I'm not looking it up right now, but I think it's probably Bruce Arena or Sigi. Then going to Sporting KC, obviously you have, Burmese. And then even with Tigres, you know, in Mexico, I'm sure he had, like, it's just a rich amount of just diversity on the coaching. And so I think he's, and you mentioned this, I think, on your show, the fact that he is barely getting started. You know, he's barely kind of finding his feet in this new phase in his life of being a first team coach for a professional team. Any of us, right? Whatever field we are, the next step, you know, that it's whether a managerial step, there's a lot to learn from people and getting to know people. And if we just are quick to, you know, see the, man, the results are not there, but yet the players are the same basically from last time. What is that about? And then people are obviously going to question the fact of, well, Ache got here and the team got worse. Well, look at the teams you are playing. You're playing pretty much everybody top four of the, you know, their conference. So it's just, apart from Philadelphia, we haven't looked bad, you know, and that's maybe my opinion. And I definitely will tell you that, you know, if Nagamura is not here for second season, that's fine, man. You guys, you know, a lot of people that want him out got their wish, and we'll probably see it happen again, right? Whoever comes in, they probably may not get the results that we want as long as the team remains the same. But it's a whole new project because you're going to have to get new players for that coach, because he probably won't want Ache or Sebastian Ferreira. And it's just a vicious circle. It's funny because Rodrigo, and I'm going to send this to you, Finn, but Rodrigo posted this picture of like Chivas. Take Chivas, for example, right? A team that I follow in Mexico, and they've been pretty awful throughout the years. They've gotten lucky to win, you know, one or two league titles, and then they won the Champions League back in, I think, 2018. And there's the Rodrigo sent this really funny picture of just basically like the vicious circle that is Chivas. So like, you know, a new coach comes in, does good, he's given like 3 months, he loses three matches, they kick him out, and it's just a vicious circle, man. And that's like the worst thing you want to do. You just don't want to keep having that revolving door of coaches coming in and out. And money, I don't know if you're there, I know you shut down your camera, but dude, I mean, even looking at the all or nothing, you know, the new Arsenal season, it's pretty crazy how, even though it didn't turn out all that great at the end of the year, and I'm not finished with the season, but we know that they finished not top four. But it's really incredible the way that, you know, given the opportunity to Michael, what is his name? Arteta? Is that his last name?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying that Nagamura is going to be the next, you know, coach like him, but it's just a matter of giving them time. And I don't know your opinion on that.
You know, this is technically his quote unquote third season. But, you know, the first season he came in just before, like, almost like Christmas, around Christmas time. You know, he saved the season with an FA Cup, you know, and then he did it again. And the last time he did. But, like, I feel like, you know, that documentary, you know, it didn't go deep in, like, okay, you know, like, the scandals and some of the things that happened. But he kind of gave a view. How different was the beginning of that season compared to right now? You know, it's like two different teams.
And that's good that you say that, because didn't he lose like three straight games with like one goal scored or something like that?
No, it was three games with zero goals scored. Goals scored.
And how
he lost.
Fans just wanted him out. I mean,
yeah, but also, I think the important thing was that there was no preseason that year because of COVID. And that, and then five of his starters were either injured, pending the transfer, or COVID. So you had like a bunch of people out, and so it was like, of course you're gonna lose. Like, of course you're gonna lose. And then, but taking that prospect, you know, that view of aspect of like how bad that season was when it started, how it ended, and coming to this season, you know, they got their signings early. You know, they offload the players they wanted to offload, and look at the first two games. You know, of course, it's Crystal Palace and Brentford, but it's a completely different side compared to what started the season before. And I think that's what we need for Dynamo. You know, sink or swim. I think we need someone to be here long term, that 1 or 2 years, and then we kick them out. Because what we have here, what we're trying to do is a project, and you can't abandon ship a project, you know, have made. If you do, is like, okay, what was the point of those two seasons if you're going to restart everything again? And so we'll be just in the same mess as we in before Nagamura. So I think just give him time, you know?
And I mean, I was going to say to Finn, you know, I don't want you to talk about Arsenal. I know that's your big rival, man. But, you know, another thing too is like people, and again, I'm not saying Nagamura is going to be like Michael Arteta or Arsenal, because you're comparing oranges and apples, man. They're just completely different, you know, whether it be budget or just history or whatever. But it's just the principle of giving a coach time to figure himself out. And what's your perspective on that, Finn? You know, just allowing a coach to kind of.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Learn.
Well, I mean, first, it's been like 2,300 days since Arsenal have finished above Tottenham in the Premier League. I just wanted to point that out. That might be why the fans are so frustrated. But okay, first, so when anybody compares, and Rudy, don't, this is not directed at you. They go out there and they're like, well, Conte did it. Mourinho could
right,
do it.
Right,
Klopp, right. Yeah. Guardiola. Yo, those guys are managing clubs that are spending top 15 in the world, not just their league. We're still like 20th in spending. Okay. You're comparing a 38-year-old first year head coach with limited resources, a late hire with a late GM hire, to a guy, to men that are, that can buy whatever player they want for the most part. It's an unfair comparison. It's like comparing LeBron James to like a middle school basketball player. That kid's no good. He can't score on LeBron. Yeah, it's not the same comparison. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but you can't compare him. And
and that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you know, I in my case, I'm just referring to the principle of allowing a coach to learn. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we see that often. We see people mention how, oh, well, look, if this coach came into Chelsea and you see such a big difference, and look how, you know, the new coach at Tottenham made such a big change. And it's like, it's not the same. The resources are not there. First of all, we have, if you're looking at the Dynamo as a whole, what did we get? A Taguinho that doesn't even play? Like, we haven't seen anything roster related to show that. And so when people keep saying Naga in, Naga out, and there hasn't been any kind of roster changes or noticeably, we can't compare them, man. You really can't.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that kind of irks me, I've been a fan of a sport, and I've been a player of a sport, and then I moved into the coaching realm where I got paid to coach the sport, okay? We'll use American football as my example. Let me tell you, if you haven't coached the sport, if you haven't, I guess, been paid, it's a different game when you're being paid and you can lose your job if you lose. Because we could. If we lost and our head coach got fired, we were going too. All right? It never happened to me, but it happens. I'm not coaching anymore, but eventually you'll get fired. The amount of work that goes these guys do, it's insane, the coaches. And for us to pass these judgment calls, these knee-jerk reactions of the lunatic fringe and say Naga out, it's uncalled for. We're, like I said, you're making assumptions and you're not walking in their shoes. You're just judging them based off a snippet. We see high school football in Texas. I swear to God, I worked 100 hours a week. And I know there's people out there like, that's not a lot. It is when you only play it or watch it on TV. Because if you watch the game, I worked 100 hours a week for you to watch a 2-hour football game, right? And judge me on that. You didn't see the other 98 hours. So we are much too fast. Not all of us, but some of us are getting there, and it's like, slow down. No, he needs time.
Yeah. And I was going to add something and I'm completely blanking on it. But anyways, if we're talking about the players, right? Of like people saying, quote unquote, oh, he lost the team. I don't see that. I don't feel that. I feel like the team, the players do a good job of, like, you know, coming in and out, apart from being a professional, right? Because you can be professional and you can still be a guy that doesn't want to be there and gets asked, easily asked to be, you know, not see minutes. Again, we don't know maybe what's happening with, obviously, that happened with DQ in the past. It happened with Fafa for a bit this year. Hadavi's going through something, but yet again, we don't know, and put in speculations out there that are basically pointless. Because obviously by now, maybe Fafa would have been playing in Mexico, like it was rumored for a couple, months back. But what I do see, though, it's after every loss, I think the frustration continues to grow for the players and obviously for the coach. And that is normal. Being there, being in the post-game conference, we didn't really hear a lot of screaming or shouting. It seemed like players were just mad at the fact that they played well, they left everything out there, and they just, obviously didn't get the win. And what's funny, though, is Daniel Stettis was the first one to, or the only player to talk to the media, and then Nagamura right after. And what I will say, though, is that we were told that the locker room was going to be open since they opened it up recently, maybe about a month ago. But really, at the end of the game, it wasn't open. They decided not to open it. And I think it's because all the guys had left. That I don't like. I don't like when the players, don't just basically act more mature and be more professional about it. Yes, you lost a game that maybe you really thought you were going to maybe get something out of. And it's embarrassing to do it in front of your hometown, but, or your home stadium. But the fact that that did happen, the fact that the locker room was closed, apparently, plus I was thinking of leaving it. Sometimes you don't even get to interview like the player you want to interview. But the other thing, and I told it on the on our group chat for Dynamo Theory, every time when we're walking out, there's a good amount of people that stay behind to get autographs. And we always see two, three of the players just go out there before they leave. There's nobody out there. Players-wise. There was a big line of people, and they kept looking to see if a player popped up. And obviously, here comes the media guys, and they're looking at us where the hell are the players? But that rubbed me the wrong way. And again, I don't know what that means. I don't think that says, you're lost in the locker room. No, I think it's the frustration just building up. And I don't know if that makes sense or if that, makes any of y'all want to throw in some comments, but feel free because I don't have a question to add there.
I'd like to point out that Daniel Stettis has now scored more goals this season than Martin Odegaard after the performance on Saturday night. Going back real quick, Rudy, you mentioned something about rumors. That stuff's like poison, especially with the way social media is now and how fast things can spread. It spreads like fire. And as a society, we just believe it because we read it online. Just because somebody wrote it, people are like, it's true. It's got to be. I read it on a screen.
Right.
It kills clubs, man. And people have come after me for being too positive. You're not being realistic. I am. And I'm being positive because who wants to be negative all the time? I can't do that. Because if I'm negative, I'm going to go into every game thinking we're going to lose. And I don't. I go in the exact opposite. And then I look like an idiot on social media hours later. Happens all the time. But sorry, Manny, I know you wanted to jump in, man. My bad.
No, it's cool. I was going to say, at the end of the day, it's the players. It's their job, if you're chosen to sign autographs that day, I know I get it. You're frustrated you didn't win the game, but, show love to the fans that, way out there for in line to autograph you. Even though you didn't play a good game, the fans still appreciate you, still love you, what was it? After that game, I saw the video that Chivas made. All the players came out to the press conference and told the fans and the media to tell the fans, we want you to continue supporting us. they haven't won like the last four games. And they say, like, you know, if we still want you to come, you know, don't abandon us for the rest of the season. And it's like, well, if you want to come, like, the players will buy the fans tickets so they keep coming. You know, I don't mean like, okay, have the players do that at a certain extent, but you know, sometimes we have to swallow up a pride and be like, you know, it's what I represent for the club. But I think it's something, you know, I give them respect because, you know, the players are humans, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we always think they're like better than everyone else, but you know, in reality, they're not, you know. If we as fans are frustrated, you know, about the result of Saturday, imagine them, you know, who actually had to play and fight to win the win.
And like so, Finn said, I mean, we only see 2 hours of it. You know, they put in the work every week. We don't know if they do any extra stuff, but they're out there, you know, busting their ass trying to get the results, and they're just not coming. Of course, the first one's just gonna, you know, get the fire, the heat towards, is gonna be the coach, and he has done a good job of, you know, taking the bullets. But at the same time, it gets to the point that even for Nagamura, it has to be pretty frustrating, the fact that he hasn't gotten any help. We have to be honest too, right? Because whatever has been done in the past with, you know, Matt Jordan's regime of, you know, doing bad business, it obviously kind of still has fallen into this new season. And if Pat Onstad, you know, to an extent, basically has his hands tied to do any business, then everybody knows that they're waiting for, you know, the contracts to end at the end of the year. And that's the only thing they can do. Letting, you know, people were frustrated that Tyler Pasher got dropped. And to me, it made a lot of sense. You know, you open up our international spot, which that's pretty crazy that he wasn't already had a green card or something, being that he had played in the U.S. for so long. So that just bad business to me by Matt Jordan. Then again, it's still spilling over. He was cheap, right? I mean, I'm sure Finister can tell us how many Tyler Pashers it costs to get Sebastian Ferreira, which, I mean, I kind of miss those jokes. But and it was good to see him play, but it gets to the point that, like, you use him so much and you have no room for him. And I don't know, Finn, that's just kind of like how I see that.
Tyler Pasher? Yeah, he was good for us in moments. Like, he was responsible for a couple moments of brilliance, and that's what we remember. And we've held on to it and overlooked the fact that he's injury prone. He really doesn't play a full 90. And if you can't admit that he looks better as a sub, you haven't been watching the same game. He's a better substitute. What did he really provide? Nothing. He was on the bench. He wasn't even playing. So, I mean, yes, I will miss measuring transfer fees and Tyler Pashers, because they're nice, even numbers usually. But if we can get a winger in that can play, that's fine with me. We need one. The missing on Thiago, I think, is really what killed us this season. We were anticipating having him and Zeck in that right side, just getting down the pitch and creating stuff, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I mean, the good thing too is that we have to give, you know, just because we hit on Thiago, we can't see the fact that, oh, we hit or we missed on Nelson Quiñones too, or we missed on, you know, whatever player may come next. You have to be able to be optimistic and just give them an opportunity. We'll find out. I mean, surely we'll find out if they're another Bahamich or another Thiago, but let them, you know, both of the, whether it be the GM role or the head coach role, they are, you know, newbies at it. You don't want them to keep hitting, you know, on bad players, but you also see the fact, going back to the, you know, Michael Dos Santos starting, that was a pretty solid pick. He looked like he played MLS before. He came in at halftime and he looked pretty solid, man. I think he may be the one that overtakes one of those defensive center back positions. in case, you know, whether Hadavy doesn't get signed to try to get rid of that DP, or maybe Team Parker gets moved. I don't know. Obviously, I think Daniel Starris is also contract is ending. So there's flexibility there, and seeing players like that that have been allowed time to develop in the second team and can move in into the first team and play well, that's a good sign to me. And that may be something that people are overlooking as well.
Yeah, I was – sorry, Manny, go.
It's okay. No, I was thinking that, you know, I think a little bit different with Mikel. I think Mikel came with confidence and something, you know, he was he had a few starts at Atlético Mineiro in Brazil. You know, still not easy league itself because, you know, they're pretty rough sometimes when it comes to players starting. But I feel like it's funny to see because he still knows zero English, but he plays football. You know, he plays the game. He understands what he needs to do, what he doesn't need to do to help the team. And I feel like, you know, I think Paulo was realizing, you know, or even just an organization realizing, you know, we do have a group of young, good players in Dynamo 2. You know, we don't have to keep, you know, go out looking for players. But I think Dynamo 2 players, like we mentioned before, they're young, still need to develop. You know, we're thinking about, you know, Brooklyn Wayans and Juan Castillo. Look at Brooklyn's 17. Yeah. Juan Castillo is 17. Yeah, you know, they're crazy. It's crazy how young they are.
And I was going to say, and people have to understand not everybody goes pro. I think that's something that people miss, you know, whether it be they see a player and they're like, oh, they're doing so well, bring them all up. That's not how it works. There is a big step. You know, there's some players that may get stuck just playing in Dynamo Dos or in USL or whatever. And it's okay. It's just a part of it. If not, then we would all be professionals.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question. If current you at your age met 17-year-old you, who would win in a fight?
Oof, probably me, right? I mean,
I'm taking current me.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you got, Manny?
Oh, I take care of me like 50 times. Yeah. I was so lazy at 17, so I'll take myself right now.
And that's when people ask me or say they should play, that's my reason for saying no, because physically their bodies aren't developed. If you put Tim Parker, as big as he is and as bad as he's been, but if he bodied up Brooklyn Reigns or Juan Castillo, as small as they are, he would send them into the second row. Like, if he truly went after him.
Yeah.
Physically, they're not built yet to withstand this. That's why you only see a handful of teenagers that go pro in their country's top league, in major leagues.
Yeah, unless you're like Messi that has something special to you that, you know, low center of gravity, people can take you off the ball and you can beat them by speed and dribble. And we don't have any of that. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult if you're just going to go, you know, 50-50 against people. It's not going to end well for you
at that. Or unless you're like 17 in the Bundesliga, by the time you're 18, you're like twice your size. I was like, man, what type of training, what type of workout meals they do there? Because, like, for instance, like Gio Reyna, he was like so skinny, scrawny at 16 when he was at Borussia Dortmund. But right now he's like 18. He's like three times the size he was when he started. I was like, man, like, unless he's putting the dedication and working hard. Or it's something, maybe just how the system structure and the league is to just to promote younger players. Yeah. But, you know, it gives a good point. Like, you know, I think Kenny mentioned one time in his press conference, you know, the purpose of those is trying to help players to get game time and see if they have the potential to help the first team. You know, it's like every youth academy, you know, like, you know, every English, if you look at your English premier teams, your La Liga or Serie A or even, you know, Bundesliga, you have a bunch of academy players. Only like a handpick of them, you know, gets the contract of the senior team and excels. But that shows, you know, you do have to fight your position. You do have to continue growing your game. Some people, you know, like, what was his name? The wonder kid for USA. Oh my God, Freddy Adu?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. You know, at 16, 15, people were like, oh, these are the Messi that we needed. And what happened, bro? they push him too much. And that, you know that he wasn't ready. he was already, and too much pressure was onto him that he just caved. And that's sad to see because, you know, we don't want our pressure on these kids. You know, let them grow, let them get their attributes, let them bulk up, and see after that how they're ready.
You know, what you asked about how the guys at Borussia Dortmund, they get so big. Have you seen Rocky IV? That's how. They have the same doctors as Dolph Lundgren. Dude, how many players like can we all name that as teens were good? Because I'm going to go first, and I'm going to give you – you'll see the similarities. Messi, Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney, Dele Alli. He was Busio because he's local.
I mean, you have to throw Pulisic there too then.
I guess. I mean, yeah, okay. Young when he got started. Pulisic. Now, what do they all have in common?
There's attackers.
Well, I mean, no. They're all household names for the most part.
Yeah.
That's a list of like six people. Yeah. And Busio's questionable. We'll see. But if you're naming a guy who was good as a teen, there's a chance that they were just a generational special talent. Yeah. It's more than likely, actually.
Yeah. That exactly. And so that's the thing too. You know, there is players, and I've mentioned this before, you know, I love Marcelo Palomino, you know, seeing him kind of the player that he's developed, and obviously outside of the field, but players like him, players like Talon, Maples, you know, like take Maples, for example, the guy is 24 years old. 24 years old is usually really old for anywhere else in the world. Usually by then, a 24-year-old already played, they already played more than 100 games for their team. It's just kind of, we have to take, and I'm not saying that he's not a bad player, and I'm not saying that he may never get a fair shot of playing, you know, in the MLS, but because there's also similarities to maybe like Aaron Long, right? Aaron Long for New York Red Bulls, he got to the New York Red Bulls at similar age, to be honest, and obviously he was able to win Defender of the Year and stuff like that. So it's not impossible, but it is definitely harder. But you do need those players to guide other players, like in, you know, Maples being the captain of those. He is there to the game that we just mentioned against Colorado Rapids. I mean, Brooklyn Reyes was about to lose his mind, and the one that you see kind of holding him back and just kind of trying to keep him cool was Maples at the end of the day. So those players are still vital to the system and to the culture you're trying to build, for sure. So, but again, not everybody is going to be a top tier pro. Manny, you want to add anything on that?
Yeah, I was adding as well. You know, it's not even Talon Maples' fault either. You know, the system where MLS had it at the time when he was 18, 17. Is this something that we have right now? You know, like MLS Next or MLS Next Pro, you know? He had to go to the college system. He had to find, you know, an academy that, you know, it was either MLS Academy or college system. And he had to go, you know, through the whole lengthy spell to get where he's at right now. But, you know, it's not his fault. You know, it's just the way.
For sure.
Right. U.S. system is, but you can see already, you know, he may not be the finished product, but you can see already attributes and qualities that you can't teach anyone those qualities or attributes. Something that comes in with tough work, dedication, and MLS is built differently. You know, it's not like the Premier League or, you know, La Liga. You know, you have to be in your prime at that age.
Yeah.
You know, we do have. I mean, we have Chiellini in the league who's 39. He's 39.
Yeah, and for LAFC. No, you're right. And that's what, like, in Maple's case, I mean, I'm not saying that he's not going to play MLS. He could come in and take over, you know, center backs, as much as we pay the guys that we have, you know, they haven't really provided enough to say, you know, these are the guys for the long term. So, you know, we've signed both of, or in this past game, you know, Michael and Talon were both signed on short-term loans. Maples didn't see the field at all on the game sheet, but Michael did. And it makes sense that you're giving those opportunities to those players. Time will tell. But again, if you are, you know, dead set in your mind that everybody on those is going to come into the first team, you're going to be very, very disappointed.
Yeah. And those guys, they haven't even earned a spot on the bench as regulars yet. Like, that's the right progression. You should go from Dose to the bench and appear in cup games and as a sub. And then, because you get a look, you get a taste, we get a feel, we get to see what you look like. And then you get into the first team. You know, there's a process that we just saw. We want to skip it because we want a quick fix.
Yeah. And another thing too, even the starters, you know, for a while, just a name that I'm thinking of, it's like Reese Miller was the starter for Dose, and he decided to just end up going to college. So he's playing with the University, I think, of Virginia, if I'm not
mistaken. Sounds like an accountant.
Reese Miller. But so, I mean, chances, guys are going to take different paths and, you know, try to make it pro. Technically, he was a pro, but he didn't sign a full professional contract. But still, there's going to be everybody looks for a different path, especially here in the U.S. You know, it's not like everywhere else in the world that you go through the academy or you get, I mean, people get like found playing out in the streets and they get nice contracts. But guys, do you guys have anything you guys want to add before we kind of go towards the closing of the show, Finn?
I'd like to see, like you said, you can find guys in the streets. I want to see Onstad assemble a street scouting team and just disperse them through the various neighborhoods of Houston. I mean, where would y'all start? Because I'm starting probably in, oh God.
I hate to say this, but I think Katy is a good area.
Yeah. There's a lot of Woodlands. Woodlands too. Holy moly.
Yeah, the Woodlands, Katy, Pasadena would be a good one. But I know for sure Katy, there's just a lot of Central American. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch there, man.
That you can in my mind, I pictured like a scrawny little intern with a clipboard walking through like Third Ward.
And that's the thing too. No, you're right. I mean, we kind of joke about it, but they should be scouting all the Sunday leagues, all the, you know, bowl league. Like, there's a lot of young guys that show up there that are like trying to make it into college or whatever.
Yeah, just there's easy ways.
You know?
There's easy ways to scout high school kids, and you just use the all district, all state teams. Like, those are easy, simple ways to scout them.
That's true.
But there's, like they were saying today, Glenn, was there's 7.5 million people here, and we found Memo.
Right.
And I
he
guess,
was like 2 hours away.
And wasn't Tyler Derrick one too? Wasn't he a homegrown? Or was it
Johnson?
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, Derrick was. I don't know where he played.
He's at RGV.
No, he's in RGV right now, but I'm saying I don't know where in Houston area he was from.
Yeah,
I know he came from the academy, but yeah. Yeah, and that's what it is, man. I think better scouting, and there's so much. I mean, you can go into further detail just because of like how the academies really don't, a lot of them don't want to associate with the Dynamo because they felt like they were getting their players stolen, like Memo Rodriguez. You know, they took him from Houstonians, I believe. So, anyways, I mean, there's a lot of empty promises there too because people see a little bit of a talent and they want to exploit it right away. And sometimes, if you look at the history, and that'd be good, I guess, a shout out to the last episode we did with Victor Araiza. He also mentioned the fact, you know, a lot of players were just kind of fast paced to the first team and then just basically non-existent anymore, which is not good because that's how you start burning bridges, man. You need to do a better job of developing players. Manny, anything you want to add?
No, I was going to say, man, I'll put in even Spring Branch or Cypress on the list, to be honest, because I see a lot of soccer fields. And, like, I remember back in my day, even, like, a friend of mine who played.
1972?
Even a friend of mine that played, you know, Spring Branch and Cypress at the time were like, I think the team's hard to be with in soccer in the, Houston area, but I think those two because you have a lot of Hispanics and a lot of like fields that a lot of people do play, and you have a lot of Sunday League right there as well. No, but other than that, I think as well, like you said already, give these players time to grow, because we don't want to exploit them and then have all these fans, crazy. It's like, oh, he wasn't ready after all. What do you think? What do you think a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old, an 18-year-old to handle all this pressure, of trying to produce and he's still raw. It's gotta take time.
I couldn't even get home on time when I was 16. We want these guys to perform as professionals. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But yeah, there's a lot of people that do. All right, guys, it was a great night, great conversation. Finister, man, tell the people how they can connect with you.
Just Google Houston Dynapod or Best Houston Dynamo Podcast.
And y'all may find out who's Finister. Finister, who's Finister?
Who's Finister? Are we still doing that? No, that was Sean that asked me
Yeah.
that. God.
That's why I don't know why I thought of that.
I was thinking, like, we've done this already.
Who's Finister? It's like,
I was
what?
like, what do you mean? I was having a psych eval. It's insane. Yeah, just Google Houston Dynapod. And thanks for having me on, dude. Like I said, Manny, it was good meeting you. You're a cool guy. All the guys that do your show are cool. I still think you should let Rodrigo talk more, though.
I think so too, man. I think I'm gonna let him run with the show. I felt bad because, like I said, he was he's probably home. Actually, I don't know because
Is
it's
he
like
your
a
little
5 hour
brother
trip.
or older brother?
He's my younger brother.
That's why you're doing it. You're picking on him still.
That and freaking Christian does talk a lot, He's definitely the one that will have like 1,000 things to say.
And a
I mean,
gazillion questions.
yeah, gazillion questions. I mean, he has great content,
Oh, I love Christian. Love
but
him. Dude, I love him so much. I listened to him talk by himself when he did Cuatro Cuatro
oh
Dos.
yeah.
Like, that's how much I enjoyed listening to him
But
a couple of times.
the fact that you point out Rodrigo's thing, and it's true because for the longest time I've gotten better of trying not to talk as much and just letting them go with it. But the first couple of episodes we did, Rodrigo would like not talk for like the first 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, wait, Rodrigo's
Yeah,
here.
that's why I said it. Like, it is better. It's more equitable now, but in the beginning I was like, what's up with Rodrigo? Like,
And
I know.
he's very insightful too. That's what's funny.
Yeah, he is.
And he was doing, he hasn't had much time to be like, joining a lot of the press conferences, but he would ask like Nagamura like some good questions, and Nagamura's reaction was just hilarious, man. Like, yeah, I mean the whole Seca thing was funny because like he just basically Rodrigo was like, we'll see Griffin Dorsey play on the wing and like Seca play, and Nagamura was just like, oh, do you want me to tell you the lineup already? And sure enough, that weekend that's exactly what he played. So it was pretty funny, man.
Is
Like.
Rodrigo Nagamura?
Yeah,
Is
Rodrigo.
Nagamura
Yeah,
Rodrigo?
he sees the game different. And that's funny that you mentioned about other sports because Finister, one thing that, I mean, we know that you didn't grow up with soccer, football, however you want to call it. But we definitely see that you understand the just sports period, man. And I
Oh,
think
yeah.
that's always a good thing, and especially when it's other sports because anyways, I think that's always beneficial because some people
Yeah,
don't get in.
you got to be able to empathize and put yourself in their shoes, I guess, to an extent, and just take a step back.
For sure, man. But Manny, do you want to tell the people how they can connect with you, man?
Yeah, it's by Twitter, Manny Vela4. So you
Manny
find
Vela.
my tweets and all my quote unquote exclusive content. JK, no, I have no content there.
You just retweet and like that. That's cool, man. But thank you guys. Thank you, I'm gonna change it now. I'm gonna say, Houston soccer fans, thanks for listening to us. Don't forget to hold it down. And I messed up, right? Don't forget to hold it down and keep it forever orange. And go
Hello.
Dynamo.